And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. You're very welcome along to the middle one of the week. It's Wednesday's 9 till noon show. It's just about to turn 5 minutes past nine on this Wednesday, the 31st of July. We're into August tomorrow. Okay, another busy 3 hours for you, so we want you tuned in. We want you taking part. 086 60 25,000, that's the familiar number, which is our WhatsApp and text number. If you want to send a WhatsApp voice note, 086 60 25,000, it's the same number. If you're listening from outside the Republic, 00353 86 60 25,000. We'd love to hear from you wherever you are. If you want to give us a call, Caroline and Shannon taking your calls this morning, of course, on 074 91 25,000. And if email is your thing, then it's comments@highlandradio.com. And just to remind you, if you are listening, perhaps after midnight, many of you, and we do appreciate you as well, listen to the repeat of the show, which is broadcast during the night, just after midnight. And you can always text us or email us. And that applies to the podcast as well. If you choose to listen to the podcast, make sure to stay involved. New dog warden faces formidable task is the headline in the Finn Valley Voice. Donegal County Council is being funded to hire an extra dog warden, but the growth of bully dog culture will present him with an almost impossible task. The two existing wardens receive at least one call per week relating to dog attacks and must cover the entire county on a 9-to-5 basis. They also must mediate between neighbours over barking and fouling nuisances, along with complaints over muzzling and lead control. Quite an informative article, that one, on the front of and inside the Finn Valley Voice today. On to the Nationals and faster and more frequent trains, new services in the Northwest, and the electrification of the intercity network are among the recommendations of a study Minister for Transport Eamon Ryan has hailed as the most ambitious vision for rail in a century. The final report of the All-Ireland Strategic Rail Review is being published today by Mr. Ryan and Northern Ireland Minister for Infrastructure John O'Dowd. The report is designed to inform decisions by the administration on both sides of the border on investment in the rail sector up to 2050. So quite some time away, but that being said, these are big projects that do take time. There's an awful lot of coverage, of course, as what this means for Dublin and other major cities. But for the Northwest, we don't know exactly what the proposals are, but the Western Rail Corridor between Claremorris and Athlone would be reinstated, and there'd be an expansion of the railway in the Northwest, covering places in counties Derry, Tyrone and Donegal. The line connecting Wexford to Waterford would also be reinstated. But the key thing there is the plans do call for a rail line into Donegal, presumably at Letterkenny. You'd really hope that if this is something that is going to happen, and when you've got a long plan like this, the good thing about it is it straddles many governments, and if all parties commit to it, you'd imagine it makes it perhaps more achievable. But really, wouldn't we love to see the Northwest positively discriminated? And if it is going to happen, get on with it as soon as possible. The Irish Independent, an airline passenger, has said he felt compelled to act as airline security when a drunk passenger lost his temper on a flight. Donegal farmer Stuart Wilson said there were people vaping and drinking on the flight when an intoxicated man woke up and went into a rage. This guy was sleeping, Mr. Wilson said. Apart from their drinking and vaping, it was peaceful. But then he woke up and went bananas. His girlfriend was sitting with him and he just went into this rage. You could tell he'd been drinking a lot. I don't know if drugs were used, but this was outrageous behaviour. We've reached out to Mr. Wilson, who's from Dunfanaghy, and we'll see if he'll have a chat to us a little later on and outline in more detail what went down. A couple of stories really effectively about distracted driving in the papers today, so I thought I'd bring them to you. The Irish Daily Mail: almost one in 10 of us who drive were seen using a mobile phone while on the road, a new survey has revealed. So what that effectively means is for every 10 cars that pass the person who's checking this, one of them is on the phone. According to the Road Safety Authority's Mobile Device Usage Observation Survey 2023, 9% of motorists were observed using a mobile device behind the wheel. That's an increase on the 6% observed in 2022 survey. So if we are to believe that distracted driving, use of mobile, does contribute to road traffic collisions, and I think any right-minded person would see that that is the case, we're seeing an increase from 6 to over 9% in motorists spotted driving using a mobile phone. The study was conducted at 145 sites nationwide in September and October last year. There's been a dramatic increase in the number of deaths and collisions on Irish roads in the last 2 years. Over the past weekend alone, 5 people were killed in separate instances, bringing the total number killed this year to 113. That's 16 more than 2023, when 91 people died. And of course, those figures don't account for the very serious injuries that are often incurred in road traffic collisions. Right, so that's 1 in 10 of us do use the phone when we're driving or have been observed using the phone when we're driving. But 40% of youngsters are TikTok driving, according to a new government study. Younger drivers admitted to using their phones for social media and emails while behind the wheel. 4 out of 10 motorists under the age of 35 confessed to checking apps on their phones such as TikTok while driving. And 1 in 5 of all drivers who took part in the Road Safety Authority's Driver Attitude and Behaviour survey said they read texts or emails while on the road. So 40% of people under 35 are accessing TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and all the other social media platforms whilst driving. So 1 out of 10 on the phone, they've been spotted on the phone. 40 out of 100 under 35s admit to using TikTok and other apps whilst driving. So, I mean, is it any surprise really if we are? I mean, if you're driving, it's milliseconds. We've all been there, haven't we? Where, and it's not necessarily on your phone or what have you, but even just a glance away from the road and you turn back and the car that was, you know, 10 cars in front of you is now 2 cars in front of you. So it is a thing. There's no doubt about that. On to, I've mixed up a load of papers here. What's that? That's the Irish Daily Mail, so I can do away with that. We'll go to the Star now, and a lot of coverage of the tragic deaths of 2 people in a helicopter crash, which doesn't happen very often, so I understand why it's getting so much coverage. An Irishman and an Eastern European male were killed yesterday when the helicopter they were travelling in crashed into a piggery after it was seen struggling in the sky. Gardaí and emergency services attended the crash scene at a rural farm near Killuchan, County Westmeath, at around 3:30 p.m. Two men in their 40s who were on board the aircraft were both pronounced dead at the scene last night. The Gardaí said they were liaising with the family of the Irishman as they continued attempts to contact the next of kin of the second man. 2 hearses were seen leaving the piggery shortly before 7 p.m. yesterday as the gate to the private property was cordoned off by Gardaí. And finally, yes, it is finally, interesting listening to Oisin and Lee talking about our Olympic success. Daniel Whiffen stormed to gold last night in the 800 metres freestyle, setting a new Olympic record in the process. The countdown man battled back to beat Italian Gregorio Paltrinieri and held off a late surge from the American Bobby Fink to touch home in 7.38.19 seconds. In doing so, the 23-year-old became only the 9th athlete in history to win Olympic gold for Ireland, our first champion in swimming. He said afterwards, "Pretty crazy. I've won everything from the European champs to the world champs and now the Olympics. Now I can say I'm probably one of the best ever. I'm not much of a crier, but I shed tears there on the podium." And fair play to him. And we look forward to following his performances, Mona, and all the others at the Olympics. The Northwest and Ireland as a whole, I suppose, being really, really well represented. It is fantastic to see. So I do one birthday request that's just come into me here before we take our first break. It's a special one. It's 100. Happy 100th birthday to Maggie O'Donnell. Maggie is in Burton Port. Hello, Maggie. She wants to hear some Daniel O'Donnell. We'll get that on for you later on, the David James, I'm sure. Well, David James is actually going to be speaking to Daniel O'Donnell later on. Don't forget about that. But the request for you, Maggie O'Donnell, comes in from Anne and Stephen Ward. Right, so the All-Ireland Railway View, due to be published later today by Transport Minister Eamon Ryan and Northern Ireland's Infrastructure Minister John O'Donoghue, sets out 32 strategic recommendations to enhance and expand the rail system in Ireland and Northern Ireland up to 2050. And we don't have all of the details, but this includes the extension of the railway into Tyrone, Derry and on to Letterkenny. So I suppose it's pretty detailed in the detail that we have. Richard Logue is a project manager in transport in London and, of course, has spoke to us on many occasions on various matters, but it always seems to end up talking about trains. So we've invited you in at one's errand to discuss trains. Good morning to you, Richard. I beg your pardon, Richard.
We've been waiting a long time for the Strategic Rail Review to be published. We've got pretty sketchy details in terms of the implementation plan yet. And this is what I've always said, is we need to know when are they going to, you know, at what point can we get a train to Letterkenny, all of that. But what we do know is that the final plan now includes a direct rail link to Shannon Airport. They've confirmed that there will be a link to Dublin Airport as well, which we all know is pretty vital. But from the point of view of the North West, I think the fact that they've confirmed the link between Portadown and Derry and then on to Letterkenny is extremely good news for the North West. And obviously, it's in all our interests to make sure that happens as soon as possible.
We don't want this to be aspirational, do we? We need to, we don't want this to be one of those documents that forms planning into the future or whatever, you know what I mean? That it just sits there gathering dust and shows desire but not intent.
Indeed.
We need plans.
About 3 months ago, before the UK general election, I had a meeting in the Northern Ireland office with the then junior minister, Steve Baker, who many of us will know has been made a bit of a transformation from being the hard man of Brexit to being a minister who I think was genuine and is genuine about his approaches on reconciliation, not just within the North, but also between the Northern Republic and GB and the Republic. I impressed upon him the need that if you're publishing the rail review, you've got to have a costed implementation plan. It does appear that they've costed it out, and I would believe those figures are credible in the range of about 35 billion over the next 25 years. It means that there's a financial commitment from the Irish government to spend a billion a year on developing the railway network. And what we can see is that it's not just about keeping the existing network as is, it's also about electrifying the lines. So the new Derry to Portadown line, and I presume by extension Letterkenny, would be electrified. So that's very good news for the carbon footprint. It also means significantly faster trains. Those trains can run at around about 200 kilometres an hour, which in old money is going to be about 140 miles an hour. And you consider that the fastest speed that you can get on a mainline train in Ireland at the moment is 100 miles an hour, 160 kilometres on the main Cork line. That's a really big improvement. So we know that with the opening of the new Grand Central Station in Belfast, that Northern Ireland Railways and Irish Rail have now got a plan to implement hourly train services from Belfast to Dublin. We would hope that there's a better connection in the short term between the existing Derry line via Coleraine. And so it does mean that you don't turn up in Belfast only to find that the Enterprise has left 5 minutes before, which is the current situation. So there will be very short-term quick wins, which is great. I think the key thing now is we've got to see the implementation plan. We pretty much know what's in the final plan, and it's great news. But what we need to know is when all of us can get on that train from Letterkenny down to Dublin.
Yeah, or when we could have a realistic expectation. Because what we do see with sort of these national plans, and one example might be the National Broadband Plan, to be seen to be delivering, you go down the path of least resistance, right? So you know what I mean? You start delivering big where the population is maybe in terms of rail, or where you get the most headlines, or where you get the most kudos. Like, we need this to sort of almost be depoliticized, don't we? And
we do.
Maybe some positive discrimination. I can see that map over your right shoulder. Some positive discrimination where there simply is no rail at all.
Yeah. I mean, there's a number of hurdles that need to be gone over. They announced, I think it was yesterday, the approval of the Dart West program to Maynooth. The problem with that is that Bord Pleanála saw fit to not approve the construction of the depot, which would be needed to actually run the service. Now, there is a huge problem in the way we currently get railway projects in the state approved. So the mechanism is known as a railway order. It's basically planning permission, but with additional powers for the railway. The issue is it has taken so long for Bord Pleanála to process the Dart West application, and only to be told at the last minute that a major critical component is not being approved is mad, because that means that it makes it much, much harder to implement the service without a depot to actually store the new trains. So we need wholesale reform to how Bord Pleanála manage these, well, indeed, how the state manages infrastructure projects. And we need to understand that when we get these in place, and don't forget, we've got a huge pipeline of work happening over the next 25 years. We can't afford to spend the next 10 years of that stuck in planning hole, thanks to how the current system works. And it really needs to be reformed. I mean, we've also had the dead hand of the National Transport Authority holding up, for instance, the doubling of the Limerick Junction to Limerick line. And again, the issue is that we need to almost take infrastructure development in many respects out of the hands of the politicians.
Well, but I don't think any of us want any, you know, a system whereby we run roughshod over people's rights or lands or property or what have you. But I think in terms of, you know, critical infrastructure, and if this should be designated as critical infrastructure, that we do have to streamline the process to some extent, because we have to weigh up, and it's a little bit like the A5, or very much like that. You have to weigh up the pros and the cons, and I think the preservation of life and better connections and the impact for business and all have you should, in some cases, if people are being unreasonable, you know, supersede their rights to hold it up indefinitely.
Exactly. I mean, the A5, you're absolutely right to raise that. Again, another piece of critical infrastructure for the Northwest. And here we are almost 20 years on from the time it was mooted, that we're still crawling behind an old tractor somewhere between Ballygawley and Omagh. And so many accidents on that road, it's unbelievable. And I'm not denigrating anyone's right to object to any of these schemes, but we need to have a far more streamlined process by which we actually get these pieces of infrastructure implemented swiftly and as safely as possible.
This is a 25-year plan that probably could end up costing $100 billion, who is to say? You know the way things go. Is it a missed opportunity, at least not then, just to stick in a line from Letterkenny to Sligo to see how we get on?
100%. So, you know, Western Track, who's been one of the main campaigners behind getting the rail review in place in the year, have argued you've got the abandoned railway line between Claremorris and Colooney, just south of Sligo. And then from Sligo, it makes perfect sense to go right up towards Donegal from there. I mean, it's essentially a massive hole. If you actually had the Western Seaboard served with rapid trains, it does allow for significant development. And even if the population isn't there just now, that's not to say if you actually provide proper infrastructure in place, it allows a framework to provide expanded communities. I mean, we're looking at the population of the state rising up to around about 10 million in the next 25 years, and it may go higher than that. We need to make adequate provision in our infrastructure for that.
Well, that's it, because we often think I mean, obviously, with electrification and others and taking cars off the road or whatever it might be, there is an environmental element to it. But, you know, we're talking of a population five times that of, you know, say 1970, potentially.
Yes.
And much of the infrastructure remains the same.
It's almost identical. Mm. I mean, I remember as a small child going up the Barnsmore Gap Road. You know, in those days, my parents didn't want to drive from Dublin to the north, through the north. So we would cut around all the way up from Sligo. And although the road is largely dualled between Sligo and Dublin, it isn't much different from Sligo north to Donegal. And if you go down from Sligo to Galway, that road is even worse. Look at places like Tubbercurry and look how remote and Ireland West Airport is. I know Ireland West Airport are definitely calling out for the Western Rail Corridor to be extended up, you know, between Claremorris and Colooney, because it will almost literally go outside their door. You'd need to just get a quick shuttle bus from Charlestown and you're there at the airport.
A caller says, why is Buncrana, Malinhead and Inishowen not included in a rail line? The lines are still there and the station, so it would be easy to get back up and running. This line's used to go to Coleraine. Why is Donegal always forgotten about? I mean, obviously, there once was 100 years ago a line up to Malin Head, and I can really.
And the line went to Carn Donagh. It did a kind of a circular route around from Buncrana north to Clonmany, and then back south down to Carn. And in fact, you know, a lot of that infrastructure is still in place. But what would be really helpful, and I think this would be real out-of-the-box thinking, is if they were to reinstate something like a tram between Derry and Buncrana. If you look at the amount of traffic that goes on between Derry and Buncrana, that could be the opening, you know, salvo to sort of, you know, do something like that. I mean, you're basically trying to encourage people out of their cars. And, yeah, buses are great, and you know, there is a good bus service being run between Derry and Buncrana. But, you know, if you're looking to really expand the town, you'd need to start thinking about much more sophisticated transport solutions.
But if you're not on the list now, when we're talking, you know, tens of billions and 25-year plans, it seems that this is, to get additions at this point might be quite difficult.
It might be right now. Don't forget, you know, things change, governments change. If a different party was in power, for instance, we know that Sinn Féin have talked about including Clare Morris to Coluny, for instance, in there. If they came to power, they would definitely open up that line. They've stated that as a matter of policy. So, you know, as governments change, you know, things change. I think the key thing is that we've got the financial commitment from both the Northern and the Irish governments to spend this money. If you can think back to even sort of 10, 15 years ago, when the railways were being run into the ground, and indeed Stormont was talking about closing the line between Derry and Belfast, you know, just keeping up as far as Ballymena, you know, we've come a long way in that. So at least we know the politicians are now at last talking the language many of us have been talking for.
I try and avoid questions being sort of the prism of what would suit me, if you know what I mean. It's just like, in the absence of a link to Sligo and on down to Dublin, it doesn't excite me, if you know what I mean. Like, what will I be getting on a train in Letterkenny to go to Derry, Belfast? How often do I travel there in the first place? I don't know. Might be me individually.
Well, there is the opportunity now for direct trains. If you look at the actual what's being proposed, direct trains from Letterkenny to Dublin, they would go down via Omagh, Portadown into Newry, and then from Newry down to Dublin. The fact is that that would still be a quicker route than getting on the bus at the old County Donegal.
I can work with that. So in other words, I'm looking at sort of, and I was thinking, right, Derry, Belfast down to Dublin, under these plans, and this is why we invite you on, and I don't try and do this on my own, you would have a reasonably quick train journey through the north to Dublin.
You would, and it means then that you would be, you know, if you're looking at a line speed of 200 kilometres an hour, that's way faster than anybody can drive. So it does mean that there's quite a good opportunity there to get a fast connection down to Dublin, and indeed make a connection across to Dublin Airport.
All right, okay, brilliant stuff. Listen, thanks very much as always.
My pleasure.
We'll wait to see more details. Take care. That is Richard Logue, Project Manager in Transport in London. Good morning, Greg. If the train service isn't from Letterkenny to Sligo, we don't want it. It's quite simple. We're being let down by every government. Why should we be without a proper train service? We'd be quicker by bus than going by Northern Ireland by train, feeding us crumbs as usual. You were thinking along the lines that I was. I put it to Richard, and he suggested that you wouldn't necessarily have to go through Belfast, that there are other routes, and you would get down there quicker than you might on a bus. Another, the train to Letterkenny is the same as the bridge across the Swilly and the Letterkenny-Lifford Road and the Ballybofey-Stranraer bypass, promised before every election and scrapped afterwards. Well, we hope that's not the case, but I really understand precisely where you're coming from. A caller says, I was working in China, Shanghai, about 10 years ago, and they banned all electric bike scooters and similar as being too dangerous when people couldn't hear them coming. Might be resolved by now, but if China banned them, I don't see why we can't. Well, we've literally just done the opposite. We've introduced legislation which gives the green light for their use. Right, okay. Letterkenny University Hospital to University Hospital Galway patient transfer service with the support of Friends of Letterkenny Hospital. It begins on Tuesday. Paddy Rooney is chair of the PRO of Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital and has accepted our invite to come on and talk about this. Morning, Paddy.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Great to have you with us. Now, did this start yesterday or it starts next Tuesday?
Well, it starts next Tuesday. Okay. And I suppose every so often, you know, you hear criticism of the Western Health Forum about there's only a talking shop and it doesn't have any executive function. But every so often, I suppose, Greg, something good comes out of it. One of the things, I suppose, a couple of years ago or more was that the cardiac catheterization, the diagnostic service in the hospital could possibly have been lost only for issues that were raised at that forum, particularly led out on by Councillor Kieran Brogan. And in recent times, then, the Donegal reps on that forum have been articulating problems to the CEO of SAILTA, Tony Canavan, about how difficult it was for some or a lot of patients from Donegal using the services in Galway about getting there. I mean, Galway is very, very far away, as you know. The road to it is not good. It's quite ropey in parts. So some people were finding it very, very difficult and very, very expensive as well, by the way. So the HSE approached us, that's the Friends of the Hospital, to see, since we have the transport, Greg, to see could we assist in some way.
Right, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, leaving at 6:30 a.m. I presume that's been chosen. Would that meet the needs of most people, Paddy? Pardon my ignorance in relation to this.
It could, but the reason, I suppose, this is a pilot to start next Tuesday and it's going to go until the middle of December. So that gives us around, 5 months or whatever, because, you know, public representatives raising an issue about the demand for the service is one thing, but actual demand is actually another thing, because the only way that you're going to realistically find out what the demand is if you provide it for a period of time. The second thing is that because people are going to go for targeted three groups of people, one who are patients who are attending the, outpatient clinics, or patients who are going to the hospital for elective day surgery, or patients who are going for elective inpatient surgery. But there's no point giving patients appointments for 8:30 to 9:00 in the morning, because this particular bus won't arrive at the hospital until 10:30. So there's a piece of work that the HSE are doing in the background, Greg, is to try and group appointments between around 10:30 and 3:00 in the afternoon, so people will get there in time, and also they will be able to free to arrive home, depart on the bus when it's leaving after 4:00.
Well, that would make an awful lot of sense, and that was my next question in terms of if there's a knowledge and good joined-up thinking to ensure that Donegal appointments are after 11, effectively. I think on the flyer here, Paddy, it says the bus arrives at UHD at 11 a.m. I'm not contradicting you.
11, yeah, okay. No, that's fair enough. Let's say 10:30 or 11.
Yeah, okay. The 11 at the latest, perhaps, I would say, is way it's been set up.
There's two other pickup points as well, Ballybuffet and Donegal Town, and people may say, well, why won't you pick up people in Bundoran and Sligo? But the problem, if we started that, the bus wouldn't get there until 12:00. It'd be mainly sent. No sooner would it be there than it'd be.
Well, you wouldn't get out of Donegal till 8:30 or something, potentially.
No.
That's
the difficulty with it. That's the difficulty. And I suppose I want to give reassurance as well, Greg, to all of the people that use our St. Luke's service to Dublin on a Monday and return on a Friday free of charge. That won't be interfered with in any way, because we actually done an audit on that recently, and we've carried over 5,000 people over the last 22 years. And remember, each one of those patients would have had between 25 and 30 episodes of treatment. So that's a lot of transport and a lot of people. So that will continue and that won't be interfered with in any way.
All right, very good. Because this is a trial as such to see the level of demand and what have you, do you want people to have a look at it and see if it suits them and avail of it? Because presumably if there is a decent uptake, we can look at something, I don't know, either extending it or prolonging it or whatever it might be.
Oh, no, it will. It because we intend to, when I say we now, I'm talking about the Friends of the Hospital Directors. So we intend to be involved in the assessment or appraisal then at the end of December. Because the big thing, I suppose, is about the number of people who are going to be travelling on this. Because there's only two or three people using the bus every day. It's not going to be economically viable to do that. Mm-hmm. But remember, each person that travels on the bus is entitled to take a partner with them as well. So we're talking about a 20, 25-seater bus or whatever. 10 or 12 people will make it viable for us to continue to do that. The transport that we have at the moment is actually due for renewal as well. We're not actually going to use our... because we have to make a decision... Sorry, somebody ringing in.
No, that's okay.
We have to make a decision. We're going to make a decision later on this year, Greg, about replacing our bus. So the demand for Galway will depend on the size of the bus that we buy, and also it has to be wheelchair accessible. Mm-hmm. So those are this pilot here will actually inform us and help us to make a decision come December time.
Okay. Now, I'm just looking at it. It's next Tuesday and Wednesday. It just so happens, it won't run on public holidays, and it just so happens that it's launched the day after a public holiday, but it is Monday, Tuesday, yeah. Wednesday. Next week, yeah. It's Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm trying to sort of think of calls that we might get in between now and then. If someone's got an appointment for 10 o'clock on Tuesday, is it feasible they could contact the hospital and say, look, I can be there for 11, or does this take a while to bed in?
Yes, there's a possible, there is a, I think, because SIP, the Community and Rural Transport Group, are actually coordinating the booking for this. So yes, there is a possibility if when they're ringing the particular number that I'm going to give out to you later on or whatever, they can mention that to see can services within the hospital. Because particularly if it's an outpatient clinic, a half an hour isn't going to make much a difference either way, because a lot of people come early for their appointments anyway. So there may be an opportunity. We will know anyway when we come to have a look at this after about 3 or 4 months' time or whatever, problems that they arise and how they can be fixed.
All right, that number 0749741644. And the criteria is that you have a hospital appointment, of course, and it's on the day
the Galway races are on these days. You can't use the bus to go to the Galway races now, and the ticket is going to be your appointment letter for either outpatient, day case, or inpatient procedure. It's got to be, and you can take a partner with you. Free of charge, and it's also for people that have mobility problems, this bus is wheelchair accessible as well.
Does it have a toilet?
No, it doesn't.
Will there be comfort breaks?
But that may be. You see, when you put on extra facilities on a bus like toilet or wheelchair, you cut down the capacity of the bus. So that's something that's going to go into the melting pot for consideration when we come to do the evaluation in December.
But some people might need the security of a car in case, you know yourself, Paddy, there's numerous reasons why people might need a toilet at short notice. Yeah. Is there the option for comfort breaks, or what's the story?
There is, you see. Well, I suppose the only thing that we can do with that is that, you know, routes along the way that people may be able to use, cafes or restaurants or toilets in pubs or whatever. That's all into the mix for now.
Yeah, I get
consideration then when we come to December.
Yeah, I see. It takes a while just to see exactly. It's to really, I think it sounds to me like, firstly, get people on the bus now, because that obviously helps in extending this into the future and deciding what kind of bus is required. But also figuring out exactly the service that's best for the majority of people. And that does, you can't do that really necessarily in advance. You need to sort of start.
If we were to do this perfectly, we would have a bus leaving at 5 a.m. and another one leaving at 9 a.m. But we just can't do that because it's going to be very difficult to sort of group people and they're going for different services or whatever. But we're going to make a stab at it anyway to see how this goes. I mean, people require the service, but it just happens to be so far away, you know.
Of course, I know. 0749741644. It runs Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. Monday's a public holiday, so it begins on Tuesday of next week. 0749741644. And even if your appointment is before 11, ring that number and see what the story is. We need to use it, I think. It's not. I mean, obviously, people are going to say, well, we shouldn't have to travel and all that kind of stuff, but we are where we are, I suppose. And if this helps some people in the interim, all being good. That's all good. Thanks, Paddy. Take care of yourself.
Okay, you're very welcome, Greg. Thank you.
Bye. Paddy Rooney, Chair of Piro of Friends of Letterkenny County University Hospital. 9741644. It's Donegal patients who need to travel to from Letterkenny University Hospital to University Hospital Galway for treatment or appointments. It's a free bus service. You can bring someone with you as well. It leaves Letterkenny University Hospital at 6:30. I don't have the pickup times for Ballybuffet and Donegal Town, but we'll get those. Is that important, significant news for you? Let me know. 086 60 25,000. Right, talking about childhoods and memories and stuff. Pish Miles are flying ants, not me, geez. Okay, sorry. That's just what they were referred to in the south of the county when I was younger. Speaking of sort of farms and our youth and all that kind of stuff, I notice that an article which reads, 7 in 10 children have never seen a cow being milked, and a fifth have never fed ducks in the park. Less surprised about the second half. Most people up here probably would more inclined to have a duck for eggs rather than feed them in a park. But anyway, 7 in 10 children have never seen a cow being milked. It's a new RSPCA survey, which also found 1 in 3 children have never watched birds in the garden or a park. The RSPCA Animal Welfare Charity says the findings raise worrying concerns about children's access to animals and the natural world. I'd say most people listening here now to this show would be far more would have milked a cow or had someone squirt milk at them. I'm sure that's happened to others as well. Hi, Greg. Just listening to you on about driving whilst on the phone. I've recently noticed these young girls doing TikToks with their young babies on the car with them. It's absolutely terrible driving away, looking at the phone, not the road. They don't think much of their babies. Anything could come out in front of them and they wouldn't stand a chance. I haven't seen those because it's not on my For Your page, so to speak. But if someone's recording a TikTok whilst driving, it's impossible to drive safely whilst you're doing so because you can't take your eyes off the road for a second. That is crazy. Whatever happened to the old bus that the hospital had? Where did that go? Another, it would be good for people attending clinics in Dublin to have the same. I attend 3 clinics in Dublin annually. It adds up. I'm sure it does. Well, we can see if there's any plans or demand for that down the line. Fit a university hospital like Letterkenny to cater for all these needs on their own doorstep, putting patients to Galway to get sicker on the journey, etc. Downright ridiculous. Of course, the dream is that we have those facilities locally. I don't think that's in the HSE's plans in certain areas. So this is some way to try and address things. We need the Bonaghy link now. 30 minutes yesterday from Arena 7 to Mount Errigal Hotel, 4:10 to 4:40. Ridiculous. That Polestar roundabout is laughable if it wasn't so serious. And I don't think you're really in rush hour at that stage, are you? And it's not like schools are emptying out. So why might it take half an hour to get from Arena 7 to the Mount Errigal Hotel? You'd probably walk it, would you, in about 7 or 8 minutes? It's going to cost more to fill up your tanks from 12 o'clock tonight. The price of both petrol and diesel, and green diesel, I believe, are increasing by 3 and 4 litres respectively. So petrol's going up. I think that's the wrong way round. But anyway, I'll get that information for you. It's because of the latest reversal of cuts to excise duty on motor fuel implemented during the cost of living crisis when oil prices soared. We spoke to Deputy Marion Harkin on this issue before, and she is with us now. Good morning to you, Deputy Harkin.
Good morning to you.
Thanks for joining us. I mean, there's been a lot of calls for this to be deferred or reversed or for us to look at taxation on fuel, more generally speaking. But the government's sticking to its guns and this final restoration of excise duties going ahead.
Yes, it seems so. And honestly, I think they haven't looked at the impact it's going to have on the border region in particular, and also in rural areas. But just to stay with the border region for now, I mean, I did a quick check yesterday, and depending on where you buy your petrol, it's about 10 cent per litre cheaper north of the border than on in the Republic, and about 7 cent for diesel. Now, that's enough of an incentive for people to travel north. But midnight tonight, an extra 4 cents per litre on petrol and 3 on diesel will certainly be enough for people to say, it's worth my while traveling to get a cheaper petrol or diesel. And remember, we also have a further increase coming in October. As far as I know, it's 3 cents on petrol, something like that, or 2.5 cents. So at that point, there will be something like 16 cents per litre a difference. And that is well worth anyone's while travelling for petrol or diesel. And the issue is, first of all, revenue will lose the VAT, the excise, the carbon tax, all of that from every litre that's bought north of the border. Because it is worth remembering, Greg, that by the 9th of October, for, let's say, petrol might be coming in somewhere around 180, 182, 183, depending, the state gets €1 for every single litre that's sold. So the more people who travel north, I mean, that is a very significant loss of revenue to the state. But as you and I know, when people travel, they will often fill up their trolley, and that is a huge impact. People think about forecourts on the border, but it's not just that, it's other shops.
Yeah.
And I honestly believe that even as, you know, to go as far south as Sligo, when you go to Donegal town, all of those towns and all of the towns along the border will definitely be negatively impacted.
Have you heard from them, though? Because like I haven't come across any press releases or much media coverage, or we haven't necessarily been contacted on this show. That doesn't mean that it's not happening, but I'm not picking up the outrage or the concern from businesses, if that makes sense. I'm not saying it's not there, but I'm not hearing it.
I agree with you in this sense. Yesterday, when I was checking out those prices and that, there was very little about this. Perhaps it's because the doll isn't sitting. Perhaps it's just people are, I don't know, whether they're expecting it or whether they just have ignored it. But definitely, when the increase came in May, I got so many emails from businesses about the impact that this would have on border region in particular. And I raised it a few times with the minister, and I said to him, like, he doesn't, you know, he comes from Cork, well, at the time, the Minister for Finance. So the impact there would be still tough on motorists, but it wouldn't be as significant as it would be in this region. And when you see what's happening, the increase tomorrow in October, and then we're almost at Christmas, and I'm telling you, and you know it, and your listeners will know it, and businesses will know it, the impact, or the likely impact of that will be very, very significant. And what I said to the minister then, and I'm saying it now, is the worst possible outcome is that some businesses would close or certainly cut back, and there'd be job losses. And at the same time, the state would lose revenue because people, you know, as I said, 1 euro from every litre goes into the state coffers. So if that's going somewhere else, that's a very significant hit without thinking about VAT on other goods that people would buy north of the border.
The thing is I put this to the Taoiseach Simon Harris not so long ago, where I was sort of questioning some of the decisions that are made that don't seem to account for border life or living on the border. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit his response in that he recognises that. And there is they do to some extent. And I'll dig out the audio later just in case I've misquoted him, but I don't believe I have. That is factored in, but they do have to look at the whole of the island as a whole. So in other words, and in fairness, he was honest, they are conscious of the impact that this might have on people living in the borders or people living in rural areas or businesses on the border. It's not that they don't know that's the case, but that is factored in and the plans go ahead nonetheless.
Well, the Taoiseach may well be right in what he's saying, that they are aware of it and they're still going ahead with it. But the other issue, and I've raised it many times, Greg, is that if you look at the stats, people who live in Sligo, Leitrim, Donegal, Roscommon, they travel, their average number of kilometres per year is about between 1,500 and about 2,500 more than the national average. So that means that any increase in petrol or diesel hits those people harder. So naturally, those people are going to travel to where it is cheaper to buy petrol or diesel. So there's that factor in it as well. So it's not just border region, it's also rural. And maybe the Taoiseach and his government have decided, yeah, we'll factor that in, but we'll end up with more money in the coffers and tough on those businesses that may either have to cut back or to close or whatever. Maybe that is factored in. But to be honest with you, it's not good enough as far as I'm concerned.
And also to transport companies as well. You know, I saw some figures, a business with a million euro turnover would see a 12,500 euro increase in fuel charges. Fuel costs represent, I think, around about 41% of your average company's overheads. So that would chew quite significantly into the profits. Again, though, I'm not hearing from the haulage industry, which can be very, very vocal at times, and we've seen protests in the past. Again, I'm not hearing haulage industries kicking and screaming about this either, haulage businesses.
Yes, again, you're absolutely right, because we even discussed this in my office yesterday. I think it's the fact that it's August, it's the time of year it is. Well, it's July, but it's almost August. And because the doll isn't sitting, and because there's, you know, we had to search to see, we knew it was happening, but you know, the way you have to check. You're absolutely right. There's very few people talking about it. But when it hits people in the pocket, when they wake up tomorrow morning and they see the 4 cent and the 3 cent extra, people then recognize the difference that this makes.
I hope it's not a case that we got, as a people, we got the shock of the 2 litre, 2 euro a litre. And sort of psychologically, anything under that we'll kind of live with, as long as it doesn't go near 2 litre. I don't know. I'm trying to dig into what the cause might be as to why there's not much outcry. I'm not sure it's because the doll's not sitting, but I understand that those issues would get discussed back and forth then get reported. So I understand the reference to the doll. But even on the street, you know what I mean? But anyway, it's happening tonight. People will see it. The increases happen straight away. The deductions take much longer. But for now, Deputy Marion Harkin, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Salam. Bye-bye. That's Independent Deputy Marion Harkin there. So it's 4 cent on a litre of petrol from midnight tonight, 3 cent on diesel. These are the cuts that happened after the Russian invasion of Ukraine. They're being returned now. A caller says, I think the motives are to get as many people off the road as possible. EV cars, perpetual tests, incredibly expensive diesel tax and insurance, says a listener there. I lost my purse on Friday in Bonkrana, which is very sad, isn't it? But a lady handed in my purse to Deals in Bonkrana, and I'd like to say a big thank you to her. So if you are that lady that handed the other lady's purse in, fair play to you, very much appreciated. A quick mention, quick congratulations. Actually, I've lost, I'll get it up here in front of me now. A congratulations to, where is it? We had it. Oh, here he is, Mark Murphy. He's our first winner of the hashtag Highland Sun Search. He's pictured taking his voucher from a local business from John Breslin. We want to see your sunshine pictures from around the Northwest. WhatsApp them to us, 086 60 25,000, or indeed, if you prefer, you can just post them on your own social media with the hashtag Highland Sun Search. We'll find them, and everyone goes into a hat, a draw is made, and people throughout the course of this week are going to be picking up fantastic vouchers from local businesses. So you can only be in with a chance if you WhatsApp your sunshine pictures to us, or indeed post them on your own socials with the hashtag Highland Sun Search. It is the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio for this Wednesday. We're going to take a break for the news and obituary notices. Stay where you are, because obviously they'll be of interest to you. But also, we'll be back with loads more content here in the 9 till noon show thereafter.